This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here live from the NVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Canadian illustrator and character designer Kurt Lehner is going to join me to speak about his career and how he became an animator. Thanks for joining me, Kurt.
Thank you very much for having me.
So tell me, how'd you get into animation?
That's actually a very interesting story. As I was growing up, I loved cartoons growing up. I loved all the old Hanna-Barbera cartoons and the Filmation cartoons and the, you know, everything from Scooby-Doo to Super Friends to Johnny Quest to Space Ghost. I loved all of that stuff. But I thought to myself, you know, I love comic books even more. I actually wanted to become a comic book artist. And when I was in high school, I wanted to be the next X-Men artist or something like that for Marvel. And I never wanted to be an animator. And I never went to animation school. I always loved cartoon characters and drawing them. So I had just finished university in the late 80s. There was a very big recession. I had been studying advertising and illustration, and I was working at a few advertising agencies and advertising studios at the time, and I did that for about 5 years, and then that big recession hit. So a lot of the big contracts like Sears and Kmart at that time and other kinds of contracts, they pulled out of Canada at the time and went back into the U.S., so I was in between jobs. I was actually working at a fitness club and became the assistant manager of their flagship. They had a chain of them. So I was doing that for a while, and then a friend of mine from college days, who I'm still in touch with to this day, gives me a call in my office at the health club. He says, you know, they're hiring at Nelvana Studios in Toronto. And I said, yeah, I know. Well, I don't want to be an animator. I don't want to make things move around. That's really a lot of work, and it might get bored of stuff like that. So he said, well, you know, they don't just do animation. They do other stuff, too. I said, yeah, like what? He says, well, they do storyboarding and character designing and layouts for background art and posing, and then you can do, like, prop designs, background designs. There's so much you can do there. And there was a fellow that went to school with us who was working there, and he says, why don't you call him and find out? I said, well, you know what? Character design and storyboarding, that would be cool, right? So I gave it a shot, and I called, and I was directed to two gentlemen, and I went in for an interview, and I showed them my portfolio and stuff, and they noticed on my resume, they said, okay, so you never went to animation school? And I said, no, I didn't. Went to illustration university. Huh, well, why do you want to work here? I said, not really thinking. I said, I kind of have a knack for drawing cartoons. And he just paused and stared at me. He was one of the supervisors, right? He says to me, we all have a knack for drawing cartoons here. He says like this, right? And I thought, oh, did I kind of put my foot in my mouth or something like that, right? So he says, okay, well, what we're asking everybody to do is if you can do a small art test, you can take it home, you can do it in your studio, just bring it back within a few days, and then we'll go from there. So I was happy to do that, and I was excited, and I put my whole heart and soul into this little art test. I had to do a character design. I had to do a layout scan of a whole shot of a background where these characters were working on this stuff. I'm looking at this stuff, and I'm thinking, wow, this is so cool because this is from a famous movie, right? And they're going to be doing an animated TV series based on the movie of these characters. So I thought, oh, I would really love to be part of something like this and have a name in a TV show or a movie of some kind. It would be so cool. So I did the test, took it back. They said, okay, thank you. We'll be in touch. This was on a Wednesday. So Thursday, I thought, well, maybe they'll call me. And I was working at the health club. Nothing. And I thought, okay, well, maybe Friday. So Friday comes along. Nothing. I was kind of disappointed. I thought, okay, well, maybe over the weekend, you know. And so Monday comes along, and I'm being really hopeful, and nothing. So I thought, okay, well, I guess I'm stuck here for a while. 11 o'clock Tuesday morning, a phone call comes for me, and the girl at the front desk says, you know, Kurt, line one, call for you. And I pick it up, and the guy says, hi, this is so-and-so from Nelvana. And I said, oh, hello. And he goes, well, and the reason I'm calling is we took some time to look at your test, and we really liked it. We want to know when you can start. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I said, well, how about the following Monday? give me a week to get out of here. And I did. 15 years I was in the animation world and didn't realize what kind of world that was. And the kinds of projects that I got to work on was just phenomenal. And through all that, I became an animator. Never wanting to, working on a few things in animation and movies, especially, you know, feature films. But let's just go back a minute, because I'm sure the listeners are going to want to know, what was that project that I did the test for?
Mm-hmm.
It was so exciting, because it was a major movie production that became a spin-off continuation TV show. And it was Fievel's American Tales from Steven Spielberg.
I love that one.
So you remember the movie, but then they did it like a TV show kind of from the West. There was like a Western theme to it and stuff like that. And it was Fievel's American Tales. It was the first animated production I ever worked on. That's how I got in the business.
Well, that's a great story. I like it. I'm a little curious. Now, do they hand out those tests to everybody that is a potential hire? Or was this given to you because you weren't traditionally trained?
I think they gave it to everyone who applied for that project, because it's a funny story, because when I started my first day, I come into one of the studio rooms where my small team was put together, and there was a fellow there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I know you. And I met him when I was in high school. I wasn't in high school. I was in university. And I met him at a house party. And he liked to draw. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to maybe get into trying to do some animation or some, you know, comic art and stuff. I didn't see him after that. And then it full circle, he comes around again. He was a very good friend of mine for many years, working at the studio and so on. And I still consider him a friend. But I found out that most of them, I think all of them had to do a bit of a test, like that same kind of test. So that I think they needed to know that you could handle the work, because it's a professional production and they can't sit and baby you, you know.
Now, you said you had a passion for comic books growing up. Do you still have that passion?
Oh, yeah. That's my world. I'm a bit of a comic book and animation historian. I do some teaching with kids in schools all the way from, you know, kindergarten grade one all the way to high school and so on. And I love teaching about the history of superheroes and comic books. And I've never found any student that didn't find that fascinating. So, yeah, my passion is big into superheroes. I'm coming to Chicago for Wizard World. That's their biggest convention. And I've been doing their shows for quite a number of years. I'm thinking almost 8 years now, if not 8 years. And I can honestly tell you they do a great show. They really do. They go all out. And I'm always honored to be part of them. And what I try to do is, right now, I get opportunities to put together special lithographs for certain motion pictures, superhero-related, with Marvel, with the DC characters, and so on. And I get a chance to help launch through those venues, you know, special edition pieces, which is awesome, because that's the only time fans can go and get those.
So out of all the projects in your resume, which one stands out the most for you that you can sit there and say that, man, I am so proud of this?
There's a couple. Well, there's more than a couple. There's a few. When I was here working in Toronto, Nelvana Studios, this was in 1997. My son was on the way being born. I was in between production projects, and the staff came down, and production staff came to me and said, would you like to maybe try to be part of the development team on a new show that we're getting, because we've just gotten contracts from Scholastic, you know, storybooks. And I thought, okay, that's okay, sure. When you're working in an animation studio, you have to do whatever they're asking of you anyways. If you say, no, I don't really want to work on it, then what are you doing there? Like, whatever they give you, you need to be happy about it, right? So I didn't know anything about these storybooks. I didn't know anything about this character. And they said, well, here you go. Like, maybe you can try to design the main character, because in the storybooks, they're watercolor paintings. And the character's eye, because it's an animal character, is on the side of the head. So they asked me at the time, could you try to create it to look animated like an animated character, not a watercolor painting, and could you try to get the two eyes to sit on this animal in a different way that still looks exactly like that character, but can interact with the audience, the children who are watching this show, and then, you know, the other characters. So I did that, and it was approved, and I didn't know that it would be so big and popular, and it was Franklin the Turtle.
Wow, look at you. That's all yours?
I didn't create the character. I designed the character for the animated TV show in 97. So I was on the development team, and then after that, I moved on to something else, and then they created a new team to actually then work on all the episodes. I'm known for that, and then I've done a couple things with Walt Disney. I worked on the movie Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas, and I did some animations work on that. That's also, you know, a big name. And then what I'm most proud of in the animation business is a project and a TV show that I got to work on, which is international now, and there's a huge fan following. And it's a bit of a cult following, too. There's a lot of fans that take that show very, very seriously and, you know, bless their hearts because it was a very fun show to work on. And I was a character designer on Walt Disney's Gargoyles TV series.
I'm not going to lie. That's one of my favorite cartoons growing up. I loved it. It was absolutely wonderful.
And my biggest pleasure from that show was I got to design the Illuminati with Xanatos as one of the leaders of the Illuminati, and then I also given the opportunity to design Goliath as a human, but with the short hair, not the long hair version. The long hair version was done earlier, and then I got the chance to do him with short hair, and I really liked the way it turned out. I did my best to make him still look like Goliath, but as a human being, everybody seemed to like it a lot. So, and when I'm at these conventions now, I do exclusive caricatures of fans as a Disney gargoyle and immortalize them.
Character designers, I think, are the unsung heroes of animation, kind of like inkers are for comic books. You know, they aren't the creators, they aren't the producers or the writers. So what's the driving force behind that?
But you can, because you have a resume, and no one can take that away from you when you've touched it. So if I designed a character, I designed many characters in a wonderful fantasy TV show for CBS. It was associated with Marvel Comics, and in Canada, it was part of YTV Youth Television, right? I think that's what it stands for, YTV. That might stand for something else now, but I seem to remember that's what it stood for in the day, called Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, which is done from the creator, Mark Schultz, through Xenozoic. It was called Xenozoic Tales through one of the other publications. It wasn't Marvel or DC. I think it was Dark Horse or Kitchen Sink Comics, one of those two, right? And then what ended up happening is Marvel got reprint of the entire series of Xenozoic Tales, and they changed it to Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. And then we got that account, and I became one of the character designers on that show. You know, no, I didn't create Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. No, I didn't create Gargoyles. No, I didn't create Franklin the Turtle. But I touched that character and those characters, and I designed a lot of them. And I designed, a lot of main characters in other situations. So that's something I can put in my resume. I can put it in my biography. I can showcase it as with visual references. I can do all these things, and the reward is, even though I didn't create it or produce it or you know, whatever, but I was associated with it, and it doesn't matter what any credits say, because sometimes in some productions, you're not always in the credit. Sometimes it's only the director. You know, this happens from time to time. I think they try to put everybody in as a character designer or a storyboard artist or a writer or something, but sometimes it's only the supervisors or the director that gets the credit. But I have the proof that I did, I worked on it, and so on. So that's the reward in itself. And you do it because you love drawing this kind of stuff. And then you can say, oh my gosh, I worked on that movie or I worked on that TV show. And so cool, you know?
Now, a lot of series right now are being rebooted, they're being reimagined. As a character designer, do you get like a little miffed if someone takes your character and they would rearrange it? Would you sit there and say, why did you do that? Or do you sit there and say, oh, I like that twist?
Me, as a traditionalist, I like things the way they're supposed to be, because there's nothing wrong with it to begin with. When they do reboot and they redesign, sometimes then lacks. Sometimes it enhances, but sometimes it lacks, right? I find if something isn't broken, don't try to fix it. Leave it the way it is. Just bring it back. But I think a lot of studios don't do that because they want to have a fresh new look, or they want it for a new generation. But when you do that, the older generation who now have children, for example, are showing their passion for those shows that they liked growing up. They want their kids to learn about it, and then they show the kids the new version, and they're like, yeah, no, that doesn't look the same, right? So I don't get miffed, no, because I'm known for those original ones, so... And those are the ones that everybody follows anyways. I mean, for example, Franklin the Turtle, the original design then went to the design team. Then they added the baseball cap, the scarf, a backpack, and things like that on the character. They actually changed a little bit of the design on the eyelids and so on, where they squared it off, and I had designed it originally more round, right? So, no, that doesn't bother me in any way. And the nice thing is no one can ever say, well, you didn't work on that, or say, yeah, of course I did. It doesn't really matter, you know? So, now, if people do a good job and they redesign, and it's like, oh, wow, that actually looks really good, I'm the first one to say, hey, I like that, you know, so.
You're right about introducing your children or your nieces and nephews to cartoons you grew up with, because I grew up with Pokemon, and the style has changed slightly, but it still has the really, Pikachu still looks like Pikachu. And I grew up with other animations too, you know, Gargoyles, Transformers, and Thundercats. Mm-hmm. And Thundercats came out with their own little reboot that's coming out, I forget when, I think it's in the fall, and it was a lot of backlash for the way it's drawn. What did you think of it?
The second series that they did?
Yeah, I think it's coming out on Netflix. It looks weird.
I think the show in itself was fine, you know. Did it have the same flavor as the original? No, not at all. They made it a little darker and a little more, I think, techie designed. I think there was a lot more anime influence in the designs of some of those characters. The original is Rankin and Bass. Now, who designed those characters? Okay, yes, and this is where me being a historian and knowing all about this stuff kicks in. Well, they was all designed in Japan. Rankin and Bass had Japanese studios. Did they look Japanese when they were designed and animated for the original series? No. They looked North American designs because it was a North American studio company that created the Thundercats. When they went to the other side and did it a little more Japanese or anime style, I think it took away from that original wow on what we grew up with. But did they do a bad job? No, I don't think they did a bad job. Again, being a traditionalist, I don't think you need to change it too drastically. I think it still could have looked a lot like what it should. Like if you look at, say, some movies, animated movies, you know, let's just use example. I never worked on any productions for, say, any of the Dr. Seuss movies, you know, like Lorax or Cat in the Hat or whatever, right? Horton Hears a Who. When you look at those computer graphic animated movies, the CG movies, right? What I love so much about those movies is they take the original design, they make it look 3D, and there you go. And you're like, oh my gosh, that looks great, you know? Because it still has that original flavor to it. And I think as soon as you take that original flavor away, you're running a risk, you know?
I can see that, because Thundercats has a third reboot then? Because I forgot about the second reboot.
I don't know anything about a third reboot at this point. So you're saying this comes out this fall?
I think it's this. I can't remember. It was. I was so taken aback by the animation style that I completely forgot when it comes out. And it looks like a weird mixture between Adventures of Flapjack and like Steven Universe, I guess. It's okay. It's a very strange way they're taking Thundercats from, as you said, the North American style in the 80s. Then they did a weird anime one as a second reboot, which was very dark and kind of serious. And then this one, which they're taking it very cartoony. So it's a bit weird. And I'm curious to see how it's going to form. But it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Is this smart character design to go so far to the left? Or is this just a risk that every animation studio needs to take to be fresh?
When you create a new team and the new team takes over after many years of nothing, not knowing these characters, or not the team not knowing these characters. I'm sure all these animators and designers and so on love the show, right? But they put their own new spin on things because they want to be recognized, oh, well, look, this is what I did, right? So, but it's hard. Like, I got to work on a production when Lou Scheimer, who created, you know, all of Filmation, and they had all the He-Man properties and TV shows and all that stuff, you know, when that was no longer in production and so on, eventually he approached Deke Entertainment. He wanted to do a spin-off called Hero Son of He-Man, and no one has ever seen my original character design, and I got the opportunity to work on that. I was the very first concept artist to touch that project, and I got to design the three main characters. So Hero, which is the son of He-Man, and he's like a young adult and gets the mantle switched to him. And then there's King Adam, which then became King He-Man in the toy line with Mattel. And then I did Battlebird. So no one has ever seen those designs. What did I do is I took the old look from Filmation, and I tried to adapt the face style and the flavor into a future type of scenario of that, right? Without it being completely Filmation, but has that Filmation flavor to it. So the designs were new, but still had that old type of, you know, style to it a bit, right? And flavor. Flavor is the word I want to use because it felt like it, right? So now I've finally been able to put together a special collector's lithograph from Hero Son of He-Man. It never went into a TV show, unfortunately. It kind of fell through the cracks. But it is an official piece, official thing that was together because eventually Mattel did, through Matty Collector, did a line of action figures of Hero Son of He-Man. I think they were mail-aways, but don't hold me to that. But I know you could get them online or whatever. And so there is some influence there of the way the designs look from the toys and some of my original stuff. So now, first time in Chicago, fans will be able to get their hands on a very limited edition Hero Son of He-Man, all the original concept art, fully colored background art, everything. It's specially put together for any hero, any He-Man fan who knows about Hero or doesn't even know about Hero. It's a must-have, you know.
So, Kurt, tell me, I have to know, is there any cartoon out there right now that impresses you?
Is there any cartoon out there right now that impresses me right now? I guess the closest ones that I would say, hey, you know, I'd actually maybe sit down and watch are some of the really cool Avengers cartoons or the Spider-Man cartoons that are out right now. When it comes to superhero cartoons, I do feel that an action cartoon needs to have that realistic anatomy and design to it and make it look really cool, like it's coming out of a comic book, right? Now, have they done very cartoony superhero cartoons? Yes, they have. Do I like those? Some I do. Like, for example, Brave and the Bold from Warner Brothers. Excellent. I loved it, right? The last one, I guess, that really blew my mind and went, oh, I would like to have worked on that, was Young Justice. And I understand they might come back with some of that, but I don't know for sure. And I wish they would, because I think they did a fantastic and phenomenal job. The DC movies, the animated movies, the superhero ones, they're fantastic. They're amazing. I wish Marvel would get back into doing some good movies like that, animated movies. They focus on their cinematic universe, which is, you know, incredible, right? But I like those DC movies. That's what really impresses me, actually.
Now, before I let you go, I have to know, are there any current projects you're working on right now?
Not in animation. I mean, I do special tribute pieces for animated programs and movies and stuff. Because I'm known for working on movies, you know, like I said, I had worked on Beauty and the Beast, Enchanted Christmas. I worked on Space Jam, the movie. So that's one that I might be bringing to the table soon, is a Space Jam lithograph. Also, I did the first Beauty and the Beast tribute piece, but I'm going to be doing three other ones as well. I also did a very special tribute to Filmation Star Trek animated series, which no one has ever really done much with, and I'm very happy that fans are really enjoying that. They're all going to be brought to Chicago. this year. Those pieces can be collected. Just moving back a bit, you were saying what was some of the projects you've been very proud of. Well, there was one project in an illustrated lithograph that I was very, very proud to work on. Was I worked with Stan Lee on a tribute portrait piece for his 90th birthday. This was about 5 to 6 years back, and I got commissioned to put this together. I got all the approval to do it, and it was a wonderful piece, and it's his portrait with 72 colored characters as a wreath around him, just their portraits, and they were all in full color, but he's in a blue pencil art, just to give a little bit of a... So this is called a portrait series, and this was the first one I've ever done, and it's been very, very popular with fans, and I was very happy to be part of that. So I think I'm going to continue that traditional project theme, and I'd like to do a tribute to Jack Kirby, who is the co-creator with Stan on so much of Marvel Comics, and then I'd like to do and honor the very first superhero creators, which is Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. And when I've mentioned it to fans just in passing and in conversation, you know, is this something you guys would like? It's been a mega response. Oh, we can't wait. We can't wait for that to happen, and so on. So I think those will probably be some of my new pieces that are coming down the pipe. And, of course, I continue doing stuff for the Gargoyle Collectors and more stuff for, you know, different superhero aspect stuff. And I'm working on all that stuff as we speak, so...
Well, Kurt, thank you so much for joining me. It was a pleasure having you on. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
So they can go to my website, kurtlehner.blogspot.ca, and there's many categories. There's superhero art, and there's animation art. There's advertising and illustrations that I've worked on over many years ago. A lot of my advertising stuff's in there, and then I do portraits as well. So there's a portrait section. I do very realistic portraits in a specific colored pencil, like a blue or a purple or a green and so on, and that's kind of my style, that's my thing. And so they can check out all my art. There's an email at the bottom of every page, so they can email me and say hello or something like that, or if they want something commissioned special, they shouldn't hesitate to contact me, and I'd be happy to work on something for fans and companies and productions and so on.
Also, for those in the Chicagoland area, come out to see Kurt Lehner and other artists and actors from your favorite shows at Wizard World Comic Convention. This convention is going to run from August 22nd to August 26th. You can visit their website, wizardworld.com, for other featured celebrity guests and artists.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's masonverapaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.